Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce, where we discuss and review your and our favorite comedies. This is the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California, Ozzy V. And with me, as always, on this program, first in the Northern Bay Area, is Greg. Good evening, Greg. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. How about yourself, Ozzy?
You know the answer to that question. Everybody can watch football. It's out there. Aside from football, I'm doing fantastic. Anything related to football, that's another discussion. But other than that, I'm doing well. Also with us, Flesh Wound producer Todd. How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing all right. And since you're having a bad day, I'm not even going to talk about your hair.
I knew it.
But it is a little messed up on one side.
Okay. You know what? Somebody told me earlier this week, they said, you probably actually have curly hair. And I was like, you're probably right. So I dried it in a different way, and it actually is more curlier but less frizzier. Not that anything I said is understood by either of you or relevant, but I'm just explaining the backstory. Anyhow, this week we did review 200 Cigarettes, but before we get into the discussion and review, we do have our commercial segment where we stupidly discuss and dissect popular commercial. This week, we normally will have the commercial in here. We're going to put it in the description instead. It's about a 2-minute commercial and it's mostly visual, but the one I'm talking about is the Bud Light commercial that features the cardboard cutout at the New York Giants Stadium. And guys at a beer, the cardboard is searching for beer. And that's not where I'm getting at. Is that like, okay, I'll play along in the fantasy, right? A cardboard cutout wants beer and he's going through in various places trying to get beer. Sure. It gets hit by a bus and then swept up in the trash. Okay. You land at the actual guy's apartment of who the cardboard cutout represents. Okay. And he has the Bud Light. Cool. Here's the one thing that got me is that the whole reason the cardboard cutouts are at that stadium is obviously because of the whole COVID thing, right? And here we see the cardboard cutout standing next to the individual in, we're assuming, his apartment because he's closest to the TV. And there's three other people in the room. What? Like, did you have to use those people? You know what I mean? It's like, that's the one thing that totally shocked, because I was like, oh, yeah, this cardboard's here because this whole thing's going on. We're not supposed to be together, yada, yada. And then this guy, he has an apartment with the windows are probably all the way up. And he's spreading the COVID with the three other people. Am I alone on that? Probably.
I noticed that. But my biggest issue is with no one's going to go that far for a Bud Light, cardboard or not.
So it's funny because, like, I didn't realize that. I was so, like, so for everyone listening in, we'll get this clip, and you know, there's no talk beforehand about what the issue is necessarily. So I watched it and I was like, oh, I wonder what Ozzy's gonna say about this one. Because to me, I thought it was a very fitting and telling commercial. I mean, you've got this cardboard cutout that tries to find this Bud Light, you know, and that's doing its thing. And he, like you said, he gets thrown in the trash and everything, which to me, if number one, you're a New York Giants fan, and number two, you like Bud Light, then yes, that cardboard cutout reflection of you is garbage. So I thought it was a very perfect commercial, in my opinion.
Ooh, shots fired. I apologize to any Giants fans that are listening. But I don't apologize to any Bud Light fans, because I thought the one thing you were going to comment on, Greg, as such a beer enthusiast, is the tagline at the end of the commercial is when there's always your favorite beer. Is there something about your favorite beer? I remember hearing the end of it. I just remember hearing the term favorite beer, but then seeing Bud Light and thinking this person doesn't exist. Whoever they're talking to does not exist. But hey,
are an imaginary cardboard cutout.
Cardboard cutout. Also, yeah, imaginary people are the ones that favor Bud Light. Anyhow, that was the Bud Light commercial. Next week, we'll be back with another commercial that all, I'm sure, find something to have something to say about. And if you have any commercial that you want us to talk about, go ahead and send it our way, social media, Ozzy_V, or at any place you are listening to this or viewing this show. Now, next up, this is the review of 200 Cigarettes. This 1999 film is basically one of the strongest New Year's Eve films out there. Came out, as I said, 1999, directed by Risa Ramon Garcia, screenplay by Shayna Larson. So I don't know if they're a relative of yours, Greg.
S-O-N or S-E-A? The last name. How is it spelled?
It's S-E-N.
Well, hot damn.
There you go. Might be a long-lost cousin. You'll have to do a 23andMe, see if that fits. Now, synopsis of the film. This ensemble comedy follows an array of young people in New York City on New Year's Eve. Among the numerous characters looking for love and fun are impulsive artist Ellie, played by Janine Garofalo, and punks Tom and Dave, played by Casey Affleck and Guillermo Diaz, who meet up with Steffi and Val, played by Gabby Hoffman and Christina Ricci, two girls from Long Island. Also interacting with various partygoers are a pensive bartender, Ben Affleck, and a taxi driver, Dave Chappelle, who operates a disco in his cab. Something that's very interesting about this synopsis that didn't catch my eye the first time I saw it is that it has no mention of, I believe, the actual stars of the film. That would be Paul Rudd and Courtney Love. And I say stars in the sense that the most amount of screen time, and I'd say the most focused story is between those two. Todd, you sound like you have something to say.
Yeah, I'd say there's the other two also, which I would say have equal screen time, and that is Kate Hudson and Jay Moore.
Right. Kate Hudson, also an absolutely fantastic job in that. I think that I didn't have a favorite line, actually, but any scene with her, I loved, because kind of happens at the beginning of the movie to set things up, but Jay Moore, they're on the second date, Kate Hudson, and turns out that Kate Hudson had given Jay Moore her virginity. So he's more concerned as to why and why him, and she's kind of falling in love with him. It's a very funny dynamic to see them keep checking up on, and shenanigans happen between the two of them each time you see. Greg, you have anything you wanted to say, initial thoughts?
You know, this was a movie I hadn't seen before, and it definitely had that 90s vibe to it. Like, I really felt like it kind of, me being a huge Kevin Smith fan, I felt it kind of had that same, like, narrative-driven story. It was definitely fun to check out and enjoy. But, Jay Moore's character, I felt like there was a few hit-and-home moments from me in my earlier days. So, yeah, that was fun.
Todd, any initial thoughts?
We're not talking about our favorite parts or anything like that.
No.
Right.
I do want to mention, this is kind of hard to get now. It's kind of fallen in that like loop. Like, it's not on digital. It's not on Blu-ray. Its last release was DVD. So if you want to see it, you got to look for it. I'll go with that.
Well, I think there's probably a reason with that. Now, I will say, full disclaimer, that I didn't watch this at the most opportune time. I had just witnessed the Raiders lose to the Dolphins because they're the Raiders. I watched a running back that I needed 6 points from in fantasy football sit down in front of the goal line twice, in combined with the Raiders losing. And the first thing I did right after that game was watch this movie. But I think, that aside, Paul Rudd, hilarious. And I mean, people are so used to seeing Paul Rudd now, but seeing it almost felt like in the roles that he's in now, they're almost written for him or written with him in mind. But this was one that he completely made it original onto his own. The neuroticism and just that guy. Like I had this friend in high school, that guy that would just pine over that one girl, you know, and it just hit home so well. It was hilarious to watch. But at the same time, his scene partner for most of the movie, rather annoying. And might have been just me. Am I alone on that? Because each time I was like, oh, are these supposed to be the protagonists? Now, it is described as an ensemble comedy. And what's great is that there's plenty of setup that's leading up to this one party hosted by a character played by Martha Plimpton of The Goonies. That was fun to see. And seeing her freak out because nobody's there early enough was funny to watch. But there was plenty of setup there in the beginning. So I guess it's hard to say like who were the main characters. But again, in terms of screen time, they were there. And man, I just had a rough time wanting to care about Courtney Love. Because at least she's after Ben Affleck as the bartender. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Although a funny line when she says, this guy won't even refill the peanuts. She says she's completely hammered. She says, hey, can I get some peanuts over here? Sounds like she's saying peanuts, but also penis. It was a good double. Paul Rudd right behind her being like, why not? That's pretty But lot of said, I'm sorry, go ahead, Greg.
No, I you know, there were some moments with her, with Courtney Love that, yeah, was a little cringy. But I also feel like that awkwardness of that moment, and the relationship between the two, felt real in the sense of like, it wasn't like a story. Like that is the awkwardness people can feel together and the weirdness that a person can be. And that's why I really enjoyed all the characters, including her, because even though there were moments where like acting wise, I was like, I don't want to see you on here. Like, at the same time, I was like, you know, there's people like that in real life, you know, and these are the kind of what I loved about this film was that it felt not very like normal when it came to story arcs. So like I felt the characters were, I actually personally enjoyed everyone and felt like they kind of fit their spots.
I'm with Greg on that. The one thing I got to say, this is the first time, I'm not saying I was not enhanced or anything off THC, but I finally understood why it was called 200 cigarettes.
And?
Because that's his birthday present. He gets a carton of cigarettes.
His
present. Because right. 10 packs, 20 a pack, 200 cigarettes. And I was a smoker, and I should have got that immediately.
Yeah, Todd. You're a disappointment. Also, we did mention Dave Chappelle operates a disco in his cab. He's also, I feel like, kind of the glue that holds everything together. He kind of, I believe, narrates it towards the end. He's almost like, reminds me of Puck. Midsummer Night's Dream, like in this particular setting, he's the one or maybe I'm thinking of something completely different right now that I can't really go too much into detail of because it's something else that, yeah. But anyway, Dave Chappelle, very entertaining in that spot. And in terms of favorite, as I said, I didn't have a favorite line, but I did write down here the favorite scene I had was, aside from the photos at the end where Dave Chappelle's narrating through them, but at the restaurant where Jay Moore is caught by a girl who he told that he would be out of town and he forgets what lie he told her and everybody in the restaurant is hearing everything and just looking over, that had me laughing quite a bit, almost in tears, not quite, but definitely very enjoyable. And then the follow-up of he's with the other girl there. And again, everybody's just kind of turning their heads. Very, very entertaining to watch.
No, for sure. And I'm very glad you said it that way, because my favorite part was that end. You know, like that Dave Chappelle moment where it was very half-baked, like the way half-baked ended. And he just kind of did a summary of everything and where things went afterwards. That was definitely, number one, the funniest moment of the movie for me. And number two, I thought it was brilliant, because a lot of, like I said earlier, a lot of story arcs kind of follow a thing and you know where they're going to go. There were a few characters in this film in which, spoilers, the story arc that you see them going down isn't necessarily where they end up. So it was not only my favorite as a comedy moment, but a favorite part of the movie where people ended up where you didn't see them going necessarily.
To add into that, I love the fact, because everyone's brought up the pictures, that we very non-traditionally, we don't really see the party. We don't see it till we see the pictures. And that's what makes it even better, because kind of like our host, which, you know, I guess kind of from her perspective, we miss what she missed.
Right. And let me tell you, I had a going away party when I went to a cruise ship where that feeling is very familiar. So.
I was going to say what my favorite, I don't want to give away like the whole,
sure,
the dog shit part. I laugh so hard every time. And then there's just the throwaway pickup line Ben Affleck drops, which I'm assuming he's used in real life. And that, do you like your eggs scrambled or fertilized? Every time.
So, and on that Ben Affleck character, I do wonder, like, I after watching it, and I've known many a bartender, and
many a bartender often, back in my day.
That's right. So, and they tend to kind of know where to guide things and don't necessarily want to participate, but might want to push things forward. So I do wonder if like that character was meant to be like, I'm just going to try to push these ladies along, like give them a moment and move them forward. Because as he exited the bar at one scene, he just seemed very content. Like, ah, my job's done. Not like, oh, they left me, you know? So I do wonder if like all that cheesiness, all the corny, you know, lines were intended for him to be like, I need to get these ladies out there to do their own thing, you know?
I think it was tough to think that, for me at least, just because, I don't know. Sometimes
it's Ben Affleck?
Well, it's Ben Affleck with that hairstyle.
Right.
It was really like this gelled up.
You're talking about hair, Ozzy.
Todd, I swear to God. Not tonight. Not tonight. But no, seriously, it was that he had such a sleazy, douchey look. But again, like, I don't know if that's just
Young Ben Affleck.
Because like even a Mallrats pulls off the douchebag look very
convincing.
Right. So maybe good casting there. But I think that particular character is just kind of, I think, more taking his, I would imagine on a nightly basis, he's the kind of guy that would push along a whole bunch and then take his picking at the, based on the selections that came in at the end of the night or something like that. That makes sense.
So like Ben Affleck.
More true to life.
Fair point.
This movie did something kind of interesting when looking back at it now, because this is so 90s. You're like, and very East Coast. Like, there, I kind of figured, you know, you'd have some Jon Stewart and some of the other East Coast comedians from that era popping up, but you don't. But it's also, you know, it's 80s and it's 90s at the same time. So it's weird because you're getting both. Like,
I'm so glad you said that, because like when I was watching it, I was like, oh, this feels like a late 80s, early 90s flick. And then when I looked up some more info and saw 1999, I was like, well, hot damn. Like, it was not either of those. So, Yeah, yeah, but it did bridge that gap of that time frame.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into actually before I move on to the ratings, just curious because the party host was anxious about people showing up, or rather not showing up, and they were all frustrated. She was frustrated about this. What would be a normal time that you would arrive at a New Year's Eve party?
Yeah, 11.
I wrote down like to between 10:30 and 11. It's like she's freaking out at like 9 o'clock. I'm like, no one ever gets to a New Year's Eve party at 9 o'clock. I take that back. When I was dating somebody and my parents invited her parents to our New Year's Eve party, they actually showed up on time.
Wow.
You're still setting up.
What year was this? 2000?
I want to say like 2003 or 2004.
Okay.
Wow. Well, Ozzy,
at a time we had like a massive New Year's Eve party, right? That like a ton of people would go to, and people would like show up between like really like 10:30. So my mom was just like, "Oh, just tell them 9. They'll show up like 10 like everybody else, but they're right. Actually on time." And I was like, "Oh, damn. That's weird."
See, but I mean, Ozzy, you know me well enough. Like, I rarely go to a New Year's party. I'm normally the one hosting a New Year's party. So I am there well before anybody.
Fair point. What time do you stop playing games?
Who play?
On New Year's. Well, Todd, you said I'd show up there at 11, and Greg's like, "Well, I'm the one hosting the party." Okay.
Well, that's most.
What time would you stop playing games?
See, most of the parties.
When I cared about New Year's parties, like typically the games I was playing was Guitar Hero, in which people would just show up and play with me. So it went on through the night.
I'm sorry. What were you going to say, Todd?
I wasn't important.
All right. So now let's get to the ratings. Now, while this was a funny movie, very funny scenes and situations, not a whole lot of right. Not a whole lot of laugh out loud moments. Very like a lot of tongue in cheek, very entertaining stuff to see, like almost stuff that I would expect to see like in a play, almost. And everybody gives a good performance. So it's not like I was ever taken out of the movie. But I think I'd have to give it a 3. Just because a lot of that screen time, and again, maybe it was because of the time that I watched it, was not the most opportune. And maybe if I watched it at another time, I don't think so.
Cause I'm going to tell you, when I was watching it, I was like, I don't think Ozzy's going to like this.
Oh, look at that. But it wasn't a bad movie.
Right.
Not my thing. So that's why I would rate it a 3. 3 out of 5.
You know, I hear you. I had already mentioned this reminded me a lot of a Kevin Smith film, in how the story is told. Very similar to like a Clerks type movie, but it was like Clerks if Jay and Silent Bob were not involved. So
as no comedic relief.
Right.
So this comedy's like Clerks.
Whoa. Did you just call this Jersey Girl?
Pretty much.
Oh, look at that.
Ooh,
Ben Affleck.
So as a comedy, I give it a 2.5. As a movie, I give it a 3, because it was an entertaining movie. But yeah, I'd have to agree with you on the 3.
Ozzy's a lot higher than I expected, because I'm a 3.5 and I like this movie, but it's not laugh out loud. There's a lot of like little stuff. So yeah,
but definitely enjoyable. If you have a chance to watch it, you know, you like the people involved, as I mentioned earlier. Give it a shot, and you might like it better than us. Who knows?
Chappelle kills it in everything he's in, and he kind of reminds me of like the 80s version of what Thurgood Jenkins was in Half Baked. He's even got the blue on.
Right. And he was oddly not out there as a character. He was pretty, restrained, which was weird, but it was well done. And the ending like that almost made me boost it up to a 3.5 at least, because just those, that ending with him and all his narrative of the photos was fantastic. Yes.
The because she has a penis line makes me laugh.
All right. Well, that concludes the ratings, and that concludes our episode. Of course, feel free to like, subscribe wherever you're listening or watching. And of course, feel free to visit the Patreon page, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures, where there is some exclusive content available. We're going to be back next week with a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce. And here's the fun thing. Normally, before we start, I like to ask, okay, what are we going to watch next week? So that way, this time, I could say, next week, we're going to watch this. But because I forgot to ask that, we're at this moment here when we're recording a show that's not really edited. It's there it is. So what we're going to do is, if I hear anybody suggest anything Wednesday by midnight, there you go. When I'll give people 2 days, 48 hours watching, listening. If you want to suggest any comedy for us to watch, go ahead, leave a comment wherever you're watching this or listening. You could send an email, or rather a social media handle, Ozzy_V or OzzyV on Facebook. And hey, who knows? Maybe that'll be next week's episode. But until next week, I'm OzzyV. That's Greg Larson. That is Fleshwood producer Todd. Have a fantastic week.